This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. There's no property tax rate increase in the new city budget, but additional revenue means the city of San Antonio will have a record-breaking $2.7 billion proposed budget. And for the first time, the city will be using a perspective of equity to divvy up funds among council districts. That means areas will see more, they have more need, so they'll get a larger share of the funding. Instead, some districts are going to get an equal slice of the budget. Others will get a skinny slice. This change was requested as part of the City Council's goal-setting agenda in June, and some have wondered if the equity lens is actually fair and effective method of addressing inequality in San Antonio. Well, what do you think of the equity lens? Do you think it's time for San Antonio to make up for many years of underfunding parts of the city, or is this not fair to all of the council districts? You can call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You can email us at thesource@tpr.org. We're joined this afternoon by Cheryl Scully, the city manager for the City of San Antonio. Coran Baines is the chief equity officer for the City of San Antonio's Diversity and Inclusion Office. And Christine Drennan is the director of the Urban Studies Department at Trinity University. And again, the number to call in is 210-614-8980. Welcome to The Source, all of you. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
Let me start off with City Manager Scully and ask you if you can give us an overview of how is it that we're able to increase the budget but still not have a property tax rate increase.
So thank you, David, for inviting us to participate this afternoon. Well, the proposed budget for fiscal year 18, which begins October 1, we're on a September 30 fiscal year, the proposed budget does reflect policy direction from the City Council as well as community priorities. The proposed budget is balanced. It maintains the city's current property tax rate and increases funding to streets, sidewalks, public safety, and to our neighborhoods. We're able to do that because there is growth in existing valuations as well as a lot of new growth in San Antonio is one of the fastest growing metropolitan areas. So we have increases in our property tax revenue for the year based on that new growth and some increases in current assessed valuations, keeping the rate as it is today. And in fact, the city of San Antonio represents only 22% of the total property tax bill. Appraisals are set by the Bear Appraisal District at the county level. The city does not set appraisal rates, and we receive the tax roll from Bear Appraisal District in late July each year and then use those projections to estimate revenue. Property taxes represent less than a quarter of our total general fund city budget. So increases in other areas, in sales tax revenue, in CPS revenue to the city. CPS Energy pays the city 14% of gross revenues to the city because if they were a private company, they'd be paying property taxes and there would be a return on shareholder investment. And we, the residents of San Antonio, are those shareholders. So that 14% represents that payment to the shareholders and a payment in lieu of taxes. So those revenues are up. And the City Council and the community prioritized police and fire, emergency medical services, and street construction and sidewalks as those main things to fund within this proposed budget.
Now, it's a transparent process. The community is involved in firming up the budget. Right now, it's a proposed budget, and we'll have a final vote on that. And because of that, you have Speak Up San Antonio events going around, community nights, and there's one this evening at the Tool Yard. That's at 7 o'clock. What happens at these type events?
Well, we give a brief presentation on what is included within the proposed budget. We also have most of our major city departments there at the meeting so that there are booths with information and residents after the presentation and a short Q&A time frame. They can go around to those booths and talk with the parks director about programs for recreation in the community or to Human Services Department to ask about senior centers and those activities, or they can talk with the police chief or the fire chief. So we have lots of conversation. And as you said, our Speak Up program, we actually interview residents in the community this year, more than 6,000, before we even present the budget. And we shared the outcome of those interviews with residents with the city council, and then host a goal setting session with the council in June of each year. And they outline priorities from their perspectives, and we use that together with the community input to fashion the budget, to put the proposal together as to what is included for the upcoming year.
We have the full 2018 proposed budget on our website at tpr.org. Also, we'll have posted the schedule for the remaining Speak Up events. There's another one tomorrow at the Central Library at 5:30 to 8 p.m. Now, Karun Baines, the Chief Equity Officer for the City of San Antonio, talk about the San Antonio's Diversity and Inclusion Office. Talk about what it is that you're looking at when you see the budget.
The responsibility of our office, which was recently renamed the Office of Equity, is to foster an inclusive culture across the organization, promote equity in every function of local government, and third, we also facilitate the resolution of discrimination complaints. That second priority of promoting equity in local government includes the budget. And it's important first to recognize what equity means, and that is fairness. And that's how we differentiate it from equality, which means sameness. So in the context of our budget and really every other area, every single decision that we make in local government, this equity lens is the process that we apply to decision making to ensure that the method by which we are delivering services to all of San Antonio is as fair as it can be. So this assessment begins by asking why of every single decision making. Why are we, for example, fixing streets and sidewalks? And we can begin to answer that question by looking at the city's mission statement, which says that we deliver quality services to the public and commit to achieve a vision of prosperity for San Antonio. So in other words, we don't fix streets just to deliver quality service, but we do it so that San Antonio can be prosperous. When neighborhoods have well-maintained streets and sidewalks, kids can get to school on time after a night of heavy rainfall, and folks can get to their job on time whether they drive a car or ride via. So my job is to work with every city department to make sure we know exactly why we're delivering quality services to the public and get us closer and closer to that vision of prosperity.
Fairness might seem like an easy word to understand, but it differs to different people. Some people say that's not fair because I should get more than that other person because I contribute more to the economy. So, I mean, how do you divvy up fairness?
Sure. So the process, again, the equity impact assessment we use to get to that fair decision making, it's a process of beginning with what is our intended result in the community, what is our desired outcome within city government in each department. It's a process by which we look at the data across San Antonio for whatever decision making process or question we're asking ourselves. And then it takes us through community engagement. In the case of the budget, the managers outlined what we've done around SA Speak Up and our continuing town hall discussions. So the process all along the way is policymakers, as well as those of us in the city manager's office, making the decision of how to define fair and doing that in collaboration with community.
Well, listeners, do you think this is fair, the way they're talking about the new budget? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. We're talking about the new $2.7 billion proposed budget for the city of San Antonio. When we come back, we hear from Christine Drennan, the Director of Urban Studies Department at Trinity University, and get some calls. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. A $2.7 billion city budget means extra money for police, firefighters, and streets. Some parts of the city will get more money for streets, sidewalks, and other services, and others are going to get a skinny portion. This is the equity lens. It's not sitting well with all the council members, but what do you think of the equity lens? Call in at 210-614-8980. Christine Drennan, Professor of Urban Studies at Trinity University. Well, what do you think of an equity lens?
We know this intuitively. We drive around the city And we see that the level of the infrastructure, for example, is unequal, is different from neighborhood to neighborhood. The quality of the streets, the quality of the housing itself, the quality of the sidewalks. And we think that it's a natural process, that things just get old. They deteriorate as they get old. But when you do a little bit of digging, you realize it's not just a natural process. This was actually engineered through the 20th century so that some areas of the city simply got much less investment and now have deteriorated. A lot of that lack of investment was tied to race, and obviously that also became an income and a wealth generating kind of phenomenon. So now, as with a new council and a lot of people, a lot of younger people, a lot of people who are moving in, have noticed this. They noticed that, well, why is the city like it is? In my own case, it was about the school districts. Why are they so different when I was putting my kids into school? And a little bit of digging kind of elucidates this, the inequities of the past, that again, there's nothing natural about them. Those were legal policy documents that were put in place in the 1930s, 1940s, all the way through the 1960s, and kind of remain in place just because we built the city up around them. And so the equity lens kind of exposes that and said, okay, there's nothing natural about this process. We produced this, and now we have to correct for it.
San Antonio became single-member district in the 70s. And isn't it that when we started giving equal proportion to different council members, or that still was not equal?
Single-member districts is a step in the right direction. As far as when we began with rough proportionality, I'm not sure, and one of the others might be able to answer that.
Okay, but even City Manager Scully.
Well, I think that historically, and I would say it changed this past decade, but before that, with single-member districts, there was a lot of dividing by 10. We have 10 single-member districts, and it really promotes equality, that is, each district gets the same amount, but the needs are different in each district, as Dr. Drennan was discussing, in terms of the historical development of the community. So there were areas in San Antonio, development policies that actually restricted wealthier neighborhoods to white families, and this pushed many Hispanic and African American families into areas with smaller, more haphazardly planned housing on San Antonio's west and east side, as an example. And the infrastructure and the housing built in these areas in the city in the 1920s and 1930s were substandard compared to other areas of the city. And so we had this conversation with the city council the day before I presented the budget to provide some context and to say this is how the city developed, and therefore if we give an equal amount of funding to every district, we're just perpetuating that inequity among the districts. And so no district is receiving less money than they did this year. So let's take our street budget as an example. In fiscal year 17, the street maintenance budget is $64 million. And so, again, we are distributing that throughout the community. I think we all know that there are continuing street needs. We've increased our street budgets tremendously over the past decade and have had voter approval for 3 major bond programs, have completed the projects in 2007 bond program and 2012. Now we're embarking on the new 2017 bond program, and yet with more than 4,000 miles of streets, there are many streets that still need repair, especially in those east and west and in some south side neighborhoods. And so the proposed budget increases our street funding by $35 million. And that 35 is distributed to the 5 districts that need the most. And that's based on a pavement index, that is a pavement condition index, where our city engineer and the transportation department evaluate every mile of street. We know its condition. And 5 of our districts have average scores, that is below 70 on this PCI rating of 100 points. And so We're focusing the additional monies in the budget, and we're using, by the way, savings from the 2007 bond program, 2012 bond program, to put more money into streets and focusing on those areas that have the lowest scores.
Now, one of the districts included in this five is District 10. That's not one that you would normally associate with a district that's been neglected. So that came about through using this data formula?
That is correct. So based on the evaluation of the streets, and they're rated A, B, C, D, F, similar to grades in school. And disproportionately, districts 1, 2, 3, 5, and 10 have average scores of their streets below 70. So we developed a two-year program that is funding approximately $35 million more in our street budget devoted to the streets in those districts so we can get them up to par.
All right, I'm neglecting the callers. Let's get one of them on the air. The number is 210-614-8980. This is Eduardo. Eduardo, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you, David. It's a fantastic show. And to the city staff that's present, y'all are wonderful. I'm glad y'all are doing a new funding process with this equity. Some areas have historically been so neglected that the dividing the budget by 10 was not fair to them in trying to catch up the ability to provide the infrastructure for prosperity, additional business growth, and the like. Is this the future plans is to use this equity scoring mechanism, or are we going to do this for a couple of years and revert back to the dividing by 10 is my concern.
Hmm. All right, Eduardo, thank you for your great question. I appreciate it. The city manager, Cheryl Scully, is with us, and she probably has the answer.
Well, that will depend on the policy direction of the mayor and council, and I will say that Mayor Nirenberg and the newly elected city council is very focused on an equity approach to taking care of those areas and programmatic needs as well that have the greatest need. So it will really depend upon policy direction, but for the next 2 years for certain, and perhaps longer, if these council members are elected now, they can be elected for up to 8 years. That this could be a future approach. And I say that because 10 years ago, the city was dividing by 10, almost to the dollar. And then we adopted about a decade ago a concept of rough proportionality. The needs are different. Some of the districts are much larger and have more miles of streets than others or have greater social service needs. And so we adopted a concept as part of our bond programs, rough proportionality, making sure that all areas of the community, north, south, east, and west, receive funding. But let's take drainage as an example. Water flows downhill, and so the water knows no political boundary, and there are some areas of the community that need more drainage improvements than others. And so we adopted that concept. This is now taking it to the next level and saying, which areas really need the greatest improvement that have been neglected over time? Because if we give all districts the same amount of money or attention, then we're just perpetuating the inequities that exist today. So I think this is taking it to another level, and I hope it continues for the community.
And Professor Drennan, it seemed like, you know, some of the conversation about this budget and the proportionality, the equity lens has kind of been limited and, you know, in the newspaper. I'm not faulting the reporters or anyone, but it just happens, you know, but you don't get to talk about how you just don't drive on your own streets in your own district, or maybe someone that you know, an employee or someone that you're related to that you depend on needs good streets too. So you, although it may not be your district or your council member, and you feel like you're getting the skinny portion of it, but maybe you're not. I mean, do people need to think about it that way?
Absolutely. We often think that we, as individuals, get ourselves into a situation. And so when we hear about equity, we understand it as, well, the folks in District 5, for example, will do better, but me living somewhere else, I'm not impacted by that. But it's actually untrue, and there's quite a bit of research that shows that if you've got these inequities and the kind of economic segregation in a metropolitan area that we do, the entire community actually is hurt by that and doesn't grow at the rate that it actually could. And I don't mean in numbers, but I mean economically and in prosperity, just overall wealth. And if the wealth of the entire community actually is able to increase by investing in some of these areas, then every single person will feel a difference. Part of it is just can people converge spatially in order to work together. And when we're so segregated, that's really, really difficult to do.
Corinne Baines?
Equity practitioners call this the curb cut effect. Long before the American Disabilities Act was passed, disability advocates were organizing for curb cuts. And throughout the 90s, really the last close to three decades now, since we have become so used to curb cuts, what we find is that able-bodied folks, parents pushing strollers, folk construction workers pushing heavy loads will go out of their way to use the curb cut. Same thing for equity. We know it's not a zero-sum game, and it improves outcomes for everyone.
But we have things like the World Heritage Site in a district that needs better streets. So it's something that would benefit that?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we'll have thousands of additional visitors traveling to San Antonio to view and experience our five Spanish colonial missions that are now World Heritage designated. And we know that we need to make improvements to enable our own community as part of our tricentennial celebration in 2018, the ability to be able to travel to those missions without disrupting the neighborhoods, but also to make it convenient for the tourism traffic, since tourism is a major part of our industry in San Antonio. And so the budget does devote funding to improve the transportation system along the river for pedestrians, for cyclists, as well as for motor vehicles.
But to a part of Eduardo's question about, you know, is this a one-time thing? And you say it's going to be up to the council, but looking at the needs, is this something that will lessen over time?
Well, I think that it could lessen over time with regard to the streets that I just discussed and the 70 rating on the pavement condition index. We've recommended a two-year program that would devote funding to get all of the districts to have the same average. That is, a best practice is that the ratings be at 70 or above. So we're going to pull up those districts that are not at that rating through this two-year budget emphasis, but I think we'll continue to evaluate all of our services. And if you think about public safety, for example, we allocate resources based upon need in the community where we have the most calls for service. We want to maintain equitable response times in all areas of the community, but we devote resources in those areas that need them most.
Okay, we're going to take a break, but also there's other areas of the budget that we want to talk about, like mass transit, how extra funding will be going to VIA, and what other people think about the equity lens. We're going to get some more callers in on this. I've got a bunch lined up, and we'll get to you as soon as we come back from this break. We're talking about San Antonio's $2.7 billion proposed budget. It's an estimated 5% increase for operating and capital cost, and that does not include a property tax rate increase. And when we come back, we'll take these callers. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about San Antonio's proposed budget. It's $2.7 billion. There is no property tax rate, but there is an increase in revenue. We're also talking about the equity lens. Certain council districts will be getting additional funding to help with street repair and sidewalks and other needs that after many, many decades of neglect. How is this working out? Do we think this is something for the long run? Do you think this is fair to all council districts? And let's get some callers in on the conversation. 210-614-8980 with Tony. And Tony, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. You know, there are some parts of the budget that only affect particular areas of San Antonio, but there are some things that affect all parts of San Antonio, like our transportation system, VIA. It affects everyone in San Antonio, and something needs to be done about that.
All right, Tony, thank you very much. So I know that in the budget that the Via Metropolitan Transit is going to see a funding boost of $4.3 million. That's in the proposal. And so that's to try to improve frequency in a number of bus routes. So City Manager Cheryl Scully, how big of a change is this?
Well, it is recommended by a couple of our council members, led by Councilman Ray Saldana, had proposed this last year, that we consider and take a look at this. And what this budget includes is a two-year plan, so that this first year, $4.3 million, as year one of a two-year plan to provide via $10 million, which expedites the funding from originally we talked about a three-year plan. But this will help to enhance bus frequency on 10 routes and improve travel time and capacity along seven corridors in San Antonio, and this is for transit-dependent populations, that is, people who have no other way to get to work but for the public transportation system, and many of them travel across San Antonio and have to be on the bus for more than an hour to get to their place of employment, and so this increased funding will allow VIA to increase the headway or the frequency of the buses on those routes and help people get to their places of employment, to education, and to the services that they need because they rely on the public transportation system.
So Corinne Baines, Chief Equity Officer for the City of San Antonio, how does the funding of the Metropolitan Transit, how does that go through the equity lens?
Again, any decision-making process can go through the equity lens. It is a seven-step process improvement and has a series of guiding questions for us to be very clear about why we are making a particular policy decision or program decision. It'll allow us to look at the data. In this case, we might look at something like commute times of transit-dependent populations and make a stated goal of reducing those commute times. We would engage with community members that rely on VIA, for example, work with city leaders as well as VIA leaders, all the way through designing what the best, most effective, most equitable strategies would be, as well as a process for monitoring, evaluating, and holding ourselves accountable to that ultimate goal.
And Professor Kristen Drennan, Urban Studies Department at Trinity University, so you're talking about the equity lens and trying to make things fair and even, but I think you're saying that, yes, that's right and good, but also it benefits overall prosperity for the city.
Mm-hmm. And the economic development, it might be one of the best examples of that, is that in order to have economic development, you need an incredibly diversified labor force. So we need the very top, right, the extremely highly educated CEO, but we also need all the support people around them. And yet, if those people don't live within a nice commute distance, they simply can't meet together in order to do a job, right? Everybody can't telecommute. And we know that human beings are so much more interesting and creative when we actually share the same space. We come together and do a job together. And that's kind of what we're starting to see, is that our really, really successful firms, not including the entrepreneurial, but the larger ones, are in parts of town that can be very difficult for the rest of the labor force to get to. And that could actually have regional economic implications. So that this transit, yes, it absolutely will impact the lives of those folks, really in a blue-collared labor force who are trying to get to those jobs. But we all benefit because everybody then will be more efficient, be more creative, be more interesting, be happier at work, and the city will prosper.
Another caller, this is Bill. And Bill, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for having me. I just had a quick question. Well, I don't know. I live in District 2 out there by Rigsby. And I was a little disappointed in the city of San Antonio for ignoring that side of town for the longest time. And, you know, just recently we got a library, you know, and that's just fantastic. And you read about all these other districts getting, like, libraries and improvements and one district getting $1 million land bridge. You know, that's crazy. And I just think, again, the equity lens that you guys are talking about, like, it sounds fantastic, you know, even though District 10 shouldn't be on it. Anyways, long story short, how is this kind of improvement, is it geared towards kind of improving relations with kind of the people that live on the city boundaries with respects to the state law where residents are going to be able to choose where to get into San Antonio or not? If, in other words, if San Antonio is looking to expand, are you looking to invest more in areas that you're going to absorb? Thank you for having me.
All right, Bill, thank you for the question. So City Manager Cheryl Scully, this annexation question.
Mm-hmm. So there are three areas we're including within the budget for annexation. They are commercial corridors, and of course there was an annexation bill that was just adopted in the special session that limits the city's ability to annex areas, which is interesting because the whole concept of annexation is to include those tax-producing areas into the city's total tax base because those who live there, 80% of those in the surrounding area work in San Antonio at places of employment using the city's roads, public safety, the public libraries, the extensive park system. And again, we are only 22% of the property tax bill, a small portion of that. But our emphasis and that of the council is to take care of what is included within the corporate limits of San Antonio. So as we annex, we will provide some police and fire services. Most of the new areas to be annexed actually have newer roads, and so the road service is not needed right away, but is planned for over time as we do the financial projections. So yes, we will address those areas over time, but this budget is very focused on what exists today within the corporate limits of San Antonio.
All right, let's go in with Lawrence. Lawrence has called in. Hey, you're on the air, Lawrence, go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to make an observation about assessing the development of infrastructure, in the past, and I think when you're looking at San Antonio, to say that the factors behind the development of the infrastructure were related to socioeconomic, that takes in part of it, but it doesn't mention something else that I believe I haven't heard, and that is innovative technology. It wasn't understood, and through probably the 1930s, I'm taking a guess, that rebar had to be used in the building of, for example, sidewalks, and that without that, sidewalks, no matter what socioeconomic area you lived in, were going to crumble. And you can find that situation still in a high-tech area like Monte Vista, where the sidewalks are very elderly. They were put in around the turn of the century. And the use of rebar wasn't really started until the architect in California was helping William Randolph Hearst, as I understand it, build his castle, and they knew that there were going to be earthquakes, and she decided to innovate and use rebar. So that's all I was going to say.
Okay, all right. So Christine Drennan, do you want to react to that?
That's really interesting and something I had never heard before. But in addition to that, so if we're starting with these sidewalks that weren't as strong, there's areas in some of these parts of town that never had sidewalks whatsoever. The streets themselves, they never had curbs, and we know that we've struggled with drainage issues. So as we improve, I think that the argument would still hold, that, yeah, we have to invest in the sidewalks everywhere, but again, we're not starting with an equal playing field.
And if I could add to that, this bond program that we just approved in May of 2017 includes $78 million over the next 5 years to improve sidewalks throughout the community. And we've identified where the gaps exist, where, as Christine said, where sidewalks have never been installed in neighborhoods, and we'll be focusing on walkways, pathways to schools so that children can walk safely to school on a sidewalk, as well as access to via bus routes. So we'll be seeing quite a bit of sidewalk construction over the next 5 years. And this proposed budget, the annual operating budget, includes $5 million for sidewalks as well. So a huge emphasis on pedestrian mobility.
All right, another break, and we'll continue our conversation talking about the proposed budget for the City of San Antonio and the equity lens and some of the other changes that are being proposed for the budget. We'll talk about what's happening with public safety with our firefighters and police officers when we come back from the break. The number is 210-614-8980. If you got a question or a comment, the source continues after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about San Antonio's new city budget, and we're joined by Cheryl Scully, the city manager for the City of San Antonio. And where are we with police officers and firefighters, public safety, in the new budget?
Yeah, so the proposed budget for fiscal year 2018 that begins on October 1st includes 40 new police officers, 25 through a community-oriented policing grant that we have applied to the Department of Justice for. So we have the matching funds in the budget for that grant match. 8 new SAFE officers, and we were talking earlier about the equity lens, and we're focusing 6 of those officers on the near east and west sides of San Antonio in the center city to address and improve the police community relations, and 2 other SAFE officers will be added. We have more than 100 SAFE officers.
What do they do?
And they work on police community relations. They develop relationships with the neighborhood associations, with the businesses in areas. They do a bit more foot patrol and actual relationship building with the community to get to know the youth in the community, the businesses, attend their neighborhood meetings, address specific problems, crime issues, and do preventative work within the communities. And in our fire department, the budget also includes 43 new fire and emergency medical services uniform personnel. We're adding another engine company and another EMS unit as well to address the growing number of calls for service, the growing population, and placing those in the areas of greatest need. The EMS unit will be operating out of the medical center area. That's one of the highest call service areas. So lots for public safety. We also have scheduled and funded 5 academy classes in the police department. We have 113 vacancies today, and we will be replacing as people retire and filling those vacancies with 5 academy classes in the next fiscal year budget.
How many classes have you had in the past? I don't know what to compare that to.
So this year we had 4 classes, and prior to that, 3 classes. There have been as few as 2 or even 1 class, depending upon. During the recession, we were fortunate in San Antonio that we did not have to cut or reduce the number of police and fire personnel, one of the only cities that didn't cut police and fire during the recession. But we hired fewer officers in those years, kept some vacancies open so that we didn't have to lay people off, as other cities did, and now we're beefing that back up.
All right. Norma has called in. Norma, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you, sir. I really enjoy having your show, but what I like about your people that are there today, I think the sidewalks are a great thing. I grew up in El Paso, and we had sidewalks since I was a little kid, and I'm in my 60s. So that is kind of very important, because children see where they live versus if they drive to somewhere else on the north side, and what they see is they don't have anything, and they wonder why people don't go out and vote. They don't feel that they're a part of the citizenry of the city of San Antonio. And I feel that that is really a very equitable thing. It may be small, but it may give them a feeling that they're part of the city, and also that I feel that if we do something like this, maybe we stop separating, you know, this group of people and that group of people, that we become a city where we all are equitable, not that we have people.
Right.
The only thing that's not equitable is that everything for senior citizens seems to be down on the south side, west side, and downtown area, and nothing out north of 1604. And I think that we have a lot of seniors.
Okay.
And we're getting older, and we need something. So please.
Norma, thank you very much. Let me get City Manager Cheryl Scully to respond to that point.
Well, just to say that the 2017 bond program does include a new senior center in District 9. That's on the north side. A couple of years ago, we just opened the new D10 on the northeast side senior center. And, of course, the Bob Ross Senior Center on the north side is on the northwest side. So we do have senior facilities now in all of the council districts. And as I said, this will be the first senior center in District 9, and that is included in the 2017 bond program.
Corinne Baines, what about the earlier point that Norma made about how the children can see, it's visible to them, that one side of town may have nice streets and sidewalks and theirs may not, and it does have an impact on their self-esteem?
Absolutely. We know in San Antonio we are economically segregated, and we know when we use the words north side, south side, east side, west side, that that's invoking oftentimes conversations about class, about race, and many other things, and about the history of San Antonio. So applying an equity lens, being conscious about equity in every facet of our decision making, forces us to be conscious and not use this more coded language to talk about different sides of San Antonio.
All right, John is called in. John, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I just had a question. It's been touted at least three times in the last 30 minutes that there's been no tax rate increase. That, of course, though, is little comfort to the people who are receiving their tax bills over the past couple of months and realizing that they're going up 25%. I know this is not that discussion, but City Manager Scully did say that they received the numbers from Bear Appraisal in July. How is that possible? You're basing a judgment that you basing a budget that you received numbers on in July, when I'm on my way to Bear Appraisal protest today to continue to protest my taxes, and I have dates into September to where I'm still protesting my taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm protesting the tax valuations, which have a direct impact on your budget.
Mm-hmm.
All right, John, good luck to you, and thanks for calling in.
Yes, so they provide a tax roll the last week in July each year, and they estimate based on past appeals and the amount of those that are granted and those that are not, they give that estimate to us. So it's not the exact number, but it's a best estimate, which is why I review with my budget director and chief financial officer on a monthly basis our income and expense for the city for all funds. We report to the City Council in a public session on a quarterly basis, the city's financial position, and mid-year, we also present a revised budget to the Council based on growth in revenue or a reduction in revenue, depending upon the condition of the economy. So it's a dynamic process. They give us their best estimate in July of each year, as they're required to do by law. And we use those numbers in our budget estimating, and then on a monthly basis, we monitor that income.
But John is saying, I've said it on the air a couple of times here, no increase in the tax rate, but we're seeing an increase in some folks' tax bills. And so that's what they're feeling.
They are. And let me just also say, though, that the city of San Antonio has a number of city tax relief programs. The city continues its commitment to property tax relief to senior citizens and residents with disabilities. In 2018, the city will forego $47 million in property tax revenue from senior and disabled homestead exemptions and frozen city tax payments. There are actually over 92,000 seniors and over 8,500 disabled homestead exemptions. And approximately 28,000 seniors and disabled homeowners pay zero property taxes to the city, of San Antonio. So as we talk about revenue increasing and appreciation in value, those revenues are used to fund and operate the new senior centers, the additional park acreage that the city acquires through bond programs to operate our libraries. The previous caller just called in about the new Schaefer Library on the city's east side. So we have to operate these new facilities, and we use the growth in revenue to provide the services that the community wants.
And so, Christine Drennan, the equity lens, how different is San Antonio in applying that? Is this something that's happening all across the country? Are we late to the party?
Both. It's a conversation you hear everywhere you go. But we're one of the larger cities to have this, to have such a serious conversation about it, and then to take that first step. You hear it in small cities, but they tend to be high income, small cities where it's, and actually it's a fairly homogeneous type of population, so you don't have the intense economic diversity that we do. So I think that we're a leader. We are absolutely a leader in the United States for the type of population we have and absolutely the size that we are to take this on.
And Corinne Baines, the Chief Equity Officer at the City of San Antonio. So if any city is doing this, it should be San Antonio.
Absolutely. And it's important to note that it's not just jurisdictions or local government that's making this commitment. From foundations, we're seeing Rockefeller Foundation, Ford Foundation, similarly asking themselves, how are we spending our dollars in philanthropy to end inequity? And also in the business sector, the over 600 CEOs earlier this year made a pledge under CEO Action. A quarter of those represent Fortune 500 companies. And in that pledge, it is a commitment to advancing equity.
So we'll be hearing equity lens, those catchphrases, these buzzwords, in other contexts as well, not with the city budget.
That's correct. And always remember that in addition to a catchphrase, it is a process and a value.
Okay. All right. So I do want to remind you that we do have a meeting this evening if you want to talk about the city budget, and you can meet the city officials at the Tool Yard. And that's at 7 o'clock this evening in Northeast San Antonio. And tomorrow there is a central library having a meeting as well at 5:30, and other meetings as well will be posted on our website. And also the budget is going to be is posted on our website at tpr.org. You can look at that. I want to thank our guest, Cheryl Scully, city manager for the City of San Antonio, Corinne Baines, the Chief Equity Officer for the City of San Antonio's Diversity and Inclusion Office, and Christine Drennan, thank you so much, the Director for the Urban Studies Department at Trinity University. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.